All right, good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? Wonderful, blessed, good. Okay, we can run with that. We can work. That's good stuff to work with, all right? All right, we're honored this morning to have one of our young bucks here to spread the word. I know you're tired of seeing us older people, more mature people. I shouldn't say older. We have more maturity right up here. But it's good to see some of the young men up here teaching. It really is. All kidding aside, it's great to see that. You would be surprised the amount of churches that don't have that. The amount of churches that have died because all their members have just got old and died. They haven't brought new people in, young people. The families haven't grown and brought their family in. Like here, look at Kenny. He's got his family, and I think he's borrowed a couple, too, out from the Lindenbauers. But again, we're honored, and if you don't mind, I'm going to ask your dad to pray for you this morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that okay?
I appreciate it.
Then it's all yours. Kenny, would you pray for him, please?
Right.
Give him your full attention. This is a good teaching this morning.
I'm gonna have to pray for the whole hour just to get him through this.
Amen.
And I do thank God for my daughter-in-law, that I not only can... have the family and whatnot, but we're multicultural.
Yes.
That she can teach in Spanish if you guys need her to. She's willing. But I do come before you, and I know that Shane had stopped by and shared what he was going to teach on, and even as I said this morning, he is that voice of truth, Father God, and it was confirmed in prayer this morning. For those of us that were here, they were speaking of it. They didn't even realize that they were just bringing forth words to confirm the teaching that Shane's about to give, that everything here, Father God, is going to flow.
Yeah.
It's in your will, Father God, that we hear these words, that we put them into practice, Father God. We thank you for him being obedient, Father God, that let him stumble, fall, whatever, but he's obedient, Father God. That's the goal, to be obedient, not to be an articulate speaker or whatnot, but to be obedient to do your will, and that's what he's doing here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All yours, Shane.
All right. Thank you, Dad. I appreciate it. So I appreciate the opportunity to be
Betty,
up here to
could
try
you turn
to
up a little bit, Betty. Please keep talking, Shane.
To try to bring God's word forth, and just it's not me speaking. This is something that was put on my heart. So
that's good.
Without further ado, I'm gonna just start off. I'm gonna
start
by reading a verse. I was gonna have Pastor Don try to read it. I was gonna read a string of verses. So,
it's a chapter, brother. That ain't.
I swear, I'm going to get kill time with. I'm going to read from the beginning. All right. It says.
Yeah, Bob's anointing.
And just a little bit of context. This is from the book of Isaiah. This is Isaiah. It's kind of an indictment on the state of Israel at that time. So it says like this. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads the case with integrity. They rely upon empty arguments. They utter lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die, and when one is broken, the adder is hatched. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil deeds, and acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin, and they are swift to shed innocent blood. They pursue evil schemes. Acts of violence mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their path. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks along them will know peace. So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like dead. We all growl like bears. and we moan mournfully like doves. We look for justice, but we find none, for deliverance, but it's far away. For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities, rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our back on our God, inciting revolt and oppression, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at the distance. Truth has been executed in the streets, and honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. Now, this is a verse that I was listening to a teaching on, and I had heard them read this, and I was like, wow. This is almost like a mirror of where we stand today as a country. And it's funny that you see these things that happened so far back then, and it's true that nothing's new under the sun. Just as Israel had given up, we see in this verse, it says, truth has been executed in the streets. So, I want to show a quick clip that'll kind of relate. This is from Captain America Civil War. He's my favorite hero, but the irony that I'm kind of indicting American culture and playing this, I think it's kind of funny.
Thank you. Unprecedented. Okay, case closed. I win.
I have to go.
Margaret Carter was known to most as a founder of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I just knew her as Aunt Peggy. She had a photograph in her office, Aunt Peggy standing next to JFK. As a kid, that was pretty cool. But it was a lot to live up to, which is why I never told anyone we were related. I asked her once how she managed to master diplomacy and espionage in a time when no one wanted to see a woman succeed at either. And she said, compromise where you can. But where you can't, don't. Even if everyone is telling you that something wrong is something right, even if the whole world is telling you to move, it is your duty to plant yourself like a tree, look them in the eye and say, no, you move.
So, I titled my teaching, Fighting for Truth. And I think that was the point of that clip was he's dealing with a decision on what he wanted to do, whether right or wrong, and he's kind of getting that confirmation of we have a duty to fight for truth. Regardless if the whole world stands against us, we have an understanding of what truth is. And I think I wanted to talk about this because I think we're living in a world where the essence of truth itself is being called into question. It's everything is subjective, where, well, it's not true for you, but it's true for me. And in that world, truth really has been executed because there's no such thing at that point. If everything is true, then nothing's really true. When I do any kind of teaching, the first thing I always want to do is look up a definition. A little bit of a nerd when it comes to words. I like my big $5 words when I can learn them. So, what is truth? Went to Webster first. It says, in accordance with fact or reality. Truth is something that's real. But when I'm looking to teach truth, I think we need something a little more than that. So, went to the Bible. Wanted to go to, let's look at the Hebrew. The word was emeth. It says firmness, faithfulness, or sureness. So when the Jew looks at what the word truth means, when I ask someone, oh, do you want to go to the movies? Are you sure? It's that firm ground that you're standing on, that ultimate reality. And then my favorite definition is the one in the Greek. It's the word aletheia. It says truth, but not merely truth as spoken. Truth of idea, reality, sincerity, truth in the moral sphere, divine truth revealed to man. Straightforwardness. And this is the definition that hits us the most because it gives the insight that real truth comes from God. And it's objective. Regardless of what, if any of us in the room disagreed, God's truth stands true. Whether we believe it or not. And some examples of this word, aletheia, are John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the kind of truth he's talking about. The same when Jesus answered them in John 14. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. This is the word that they're using to describe that truth that he's trying to bring. So, like I said, I'm a geek, so church history is my subject. So I wanted to use an example not only from a movie clip, but kind of talk about that fight for truth throughout church history. So it brought me to, as I was reading and studying the subject, something called the Arian controversy. So it started with a priest from Libya named Arius. This isn't the same Arianism that you see with Hitler back in World War II. This is kind of separate. So can't get the two confused. I was talking to my parents and my mother was confused for a minute there. So I wanted to make sure I put it in. So who is Arius? Arius was a priest from Libya, and he preached that Christ was a created being by God. He wasn't equal to God. He preached that God, that Christ wasn't God, and that if you believe he is God, then you're preaching polytheism. So he's preaching this at the time, and it actually got so bad in Alexandria and in Rome that it split the church. This one man came and spread a lie about Christ, and it split the church.
He's kind of famous, too. Many of you may not know the real story of Santa Claus. Arian, though, was the main, as you had already said, was preaching this controversy. And, you know, it was, they had the this church gathering of the leaders, and they were going to decide this particular subject. And am I stepping on
you? You are, but it's okay.
All right, no. Here, I'll let you do it because you're teaching a class. So I, you know, sometimes an idea pops into my head, and it's like, okay, maybe I add to it. But you got it. So
it confirms at least I'm going in the right direction.
Your truth aligns with Pastor Don's truth, right?
Yep. So that's what I needed. So, like I said, the Arians, it did split the church, and it created such an uproar politically and within the body that it sparked the very first church council in 325, and it was the Council of Nicaea. So the debate took place. Constantine calls all of the bishops and church leaders at this time. I think there was over 300 that ended up arriving. And there's a lot of issues that were being dealt with, but this is the one that took place where, is Christ God? And it came down to a debate between two words. The first being homoousios, and homoiousios. And it really came down to just one letter's difference between the reality that they were to believe about Christ. And they were going to decide this on one letter and who's going to, the future of what the church was going to believe. Now this man Arius believed that God was, or Christ was homoiousios, which means like the Father, but not equal to. That one eye takes away. While homoousios, right here, means the same as, in essence, as the Father. Well, at this council, the debates took place. It lasted quite a bit of time. But these two men were fighting, Arius, and then there was two other men that were fighting for orthodoxy within the church. Well, Arius was shut down, and Christ was deemed to be God and equal. And the doctrine of the Trinity was reaffirmed. At the same council, Arius was exiled, thrown out of the church, and the Nicene Creed was written. And I was supposed to print out the Nicene Creed. I don't have it with me, but I forgot. But it says that we believe in one God the Father. And it says that. I was saying. But it says that Jesus Christ. I was saying, I think that is recited in your confirmation if you are Catholic. Because it says that we believe in God the Father, but we believe in Christ, the only begotten Son, who is equal to the Father in essence. And they established this as the creed written to know that anyone who is going to be a Christian, this is what we believed at that time. But was it the end?
Hey, hold on. Share any more about Santa Claus?
I'm not going to share about Santa Claus. All right, you feel free. Share about Santa Claus.
We're getting a new reality.
Yeah, this is a blessing of holidays. Actually, at that council, the Council of Nicaea, that St. Nick, he was one of the bishops that was there. He was one of the leading bishops, so he was actually from Turkey. He wasn't from the North Pole. And he was so upset with this guy, Arius. He attacked him on the floor and beat the heck out of him. They got into a fist fight because they knew this was such a vital point in the church's life. Who is Christ? Okay, we have a tendency to think, it's not that important, but not to these guys. They knew the direction of the church was going to be set by this creed. So on the day that they were going to decide it, St. Nick and the other bishops that were with him that were really against this Arius, they met together and they were praying and fasting. Lord, you have to reveal your truth. This is that vital, and it is. We see the deity of Christ attack today. So the day that they were going to vote on this, Arius was on his way to the council meeting. And he has stopped to relieve himself in, the alley somewhere. And he had a heart attack and died. So the church and St. Nick and all of them saw that as the hand of God. We talk about seeing the hand of God in circumstances. That God's judgment came upon the enemy. That Christ himself struck him down because of this important idea that was going to permeate the world as to who Jesus Christ is. The truth. Mm-hmm. And so they were willing to fight for that truth. They weren't going to let it die in the streets or be executed in the streets. Mm-hmm. And the execution that took place was against the falsehood that this Arius was bringing. So it's a great, great story as to what happened there. We unfortunately don't know how church should. And this really set the course. We wouldn't probably be sitting in this room if it wasn't for this particular council.
Yep. So, actually, when I was reading, we actually had a difference in what we were reading. Because the question I was going to bring up is, was it the end of this controversy? Because at that time, you would think that Arianism was defeated, but in reality, it wasn't. There were so many people that sided with the Arian movement. One of them even being the son of Constantine at that time. Constantius was his name. Real original. But they would side with this Arian movement. So you'd think it was the end. You think something as grand as that council would decide it, but it wasn't over yet. The fight was to continue. And that's where I wanted to bring up one of the members and one of the people at this council was a man named Athanasius. And then born in 296, died in 373. He was the bishop of Alexandria after this council took place. So after the council took place and the person who was representing that city had died, he took over. And he wrote a book called The Incarnation, which was his beliefs on who Jesus was and how important he thought this was to Christianity as a whole. And the thesis of the book that he wrote is God himself has entered into humanity in Jesus Christ, and he has done what is necessary for us to be adopted as the sons and daughters of God. And he's going to be the representative and the head of this movement moving forward to maintain orthodoxy within the church and to maintain that Christ is God and he is equal to him. So Constantine actually called to have Arius brought back, or at least, like I said, in the history that I was reading, he hadn't died like that, but he had died shortly after, where he wanted to at least have the ideology reestablished within the church because of all the political power that was happening. You have these people trying to talk to the emperor and say that this wasn't a bad idea. And Constantine, he was a leader. He was a Christian, but he cared more about maintaining his state and the city than what he cared about the actual future of the church itself. So he called to have Arius brought back out of exile. But Athanasius, as the bishop of Alexandria, said, no, he's not doing it. I refuse to let this lie be brought in. Well, disagreeing with the emperor at that time didn't go over too well. It was considered treason, and Athanasius was exiled. 3 years into exile, Constantine died, and Arianism rose to the highest point that it had ever seen, to the point that it was a majority viewpoint in some of the cities, that Christ wasn't God, that he was just a man like God, just a prophet. Well, Athanasius came back and fought the fight again, and he was exiled again by the next emperor. And another 5 years goes by, and he comes back again, refusing to let this fight go because of the stance that he took, and he's exiled again. 17 years, he's exiled three times, to the point that 3 years before he died, he finally came back and continued to write a weekly message to every church in the city to show that Christ is God. He would not stop. And then the day he died, they ended up actually writing his epitaph on his gravestone, and it says Athanasius contra mundum, which in Latin means Athanasius against the world. Because he's a singular fighter in that city to fight for the truth of Christ. And just like that clip showed, is even if the whole world tells you that you're to move, when you have the truth, you say, no, you move. Even if I'm the only one, even if he's the only one, he said he was going to take that fight on and move forward. But just like Athanasius fought at that time, the fight goes on. So what I want to talk about next is we're called to fight. Matthew 5:13 says, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. So when we look at this, the truth itself is being called into question. We're called to fight for it. The Word says that we're not to let truth just die in the streets. And we have what we know is true, and we need to maintain it. So what are we fighting against? So I'm going to ask the crowd, what are some examples of the ideologies that maybe we're not fighting for the deity of Christ in our day, or we may have to, but what are some of the ideologies we're fighting against currently?
With the Muslims, we are constantly hearing that Jesus was just a prophet. That's one of the number one things that I believe that we're fighting against.
Yep. Yeah.
Also, I think that we're allowed to say God, but we're not allowed to say Jesus.
I was just going to say that with a lot of denominations now, Christian so-called denominations, there's a lot of division and controversy. There's an author, he's been around for a long time, by the name of John Stott, and he wrote a book about it was the division of the Presbyterian Church. It was the beginning of that, and it was in the early 1900s, and that's where they split from. There was a camp that believed that the blood of Jesus was not what we believe that it is and what it does. And so they said, well, we recognize it, but we don't really believe it. And I was just thinking that there's a lot of denominations now that are really not believing, like you said, in the deity of Jesus, and they're just pulling away from the truth of the Word of God. They believe part of it, but not all of it. It's like they cherry pick.
Yes, thank you.
I think that Christ is and God is our creator, you know, with the whole lesbian and gay movement and now no gender movement of just trying to erase that Christ is our creator and he created who we are.
I think we're fighting for to share with people that a lot of the world doesn't believe that there's a literal hell. And so when you give the gospel these days, you don't talk about repentance for sin. And you talk about believing and receiving Jesus, but there's no mention of hell and eternal damnation. For rejection, there's no consequences. So it's a fluffy, touchy-feely gospel.
Thank you, Bob. What are some of the issues that face our time that we're fighting for? Everything. Everything, every topic. Economics, family, marriage, sexuality, education, what is reality, you name it, it's all under attack. And why? Because it's either because all those things are based in the Bible. You can't have a proper, you know, one of your things was truth, you know, Webster's Dictionary, reality. Well, what's reality? Well, the Bible tells us what reality is. But there's also the world which tells us what reality is. Okay, so don't think that these are just some, you know, we can go to church and, you know, sing a couple hallelujahs. Everything, and if you look at every single topic, you'll see that the truth of that particular topic is being undermined, you know, and being destroyed. So it's a battle for every idea under the sun. Either you're going to have a proper view of reality and what constitutes that reality and everybody's role in that reality, or you're going to have a different view of what it is. So, yeah, it's that serious.
You know, in the title there, it says, what are we fighting against? And a lot of us spoke to that. And one of the things that I had asked when we discussed it is, what are we fighting for? You know, and he's speaking about truth. But in reality, what we're fighting for is the hearts and minds of people. The hearts and minds of our daughters, of our sons, granddaughters. It's not something that you can't put a face to. Look around the room, look around your neighborhood, look around your work. It's not about just fighting for truth because people claim to have truth. A Christian can have truth, but if they're not fighting for people, it's nothing.
Yep.
It's the truth is a weapon, in a sense, to bring that division and bring that reality to them. Christ came to divide the truth, right, with the truth, to divide the people, hearts and minds of the people. Those that would accept him.
Amen. Oops, I'm sorry. Betty.
Yes, all these things, as Pastor Don has mentioned, and another really issue is our country. You know, the younger generation seems to think, well, whatever, you know, not standing up for our military, fighting. You know, they're over there sacrificing their life for this country. And too many people that are, I don't care attitude. I mean, this country was built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And we need to continue to let everybody know, and especially that younger generation, that this is their country. Yeah. They need Jesus in their life, yeah. So it's up to us to show them and help them and not stop. Just keep on keeping on.
I've noticed myself this year that a lot more people are saying Merry Christmas. For a few years, that was kind of frowned upon. But now you hear people, Merry Christmas, have a Happy New Year. You know, it seems like a small thing, but when it's based on the truth, it's a big thing. Anyone else? Yep.
I just want to say, too, that it's a lot of fear that's being planted these days, because I have my neighbor, she's so busy on the internet, she's been looking at the attacks that are happening to the women and children when they're going to the stores, when they come out, you know, they're being snatched, they're being injected, they're being sold to the sex trader, they're being sold for their organs. So I believe if we have more prayer, that all these attacks would not be happening. So the fight for praying, put it back in schools, put it back in our homes, because the old saying used to be, a family that prays together stays together. So I believe prayer does change things. And so I'm fighting that good fight to have prayer back in the schools, because these young people need to know that there is God and he loves us, and there's a place that, you know, it needs to be like institutionalized, because they don't have no morals, no scruples, no, and you can't really blame them. But if they're not being taught righteously, right. Yep. Then this is what we get. So
yeah. I said, Kim, you had something?
Yeah.
Yay. I don't know.
Yeah, you do. But when you first started speaking, Shane, I thought of a quote that I heard somebody say, and because we idolize people, right? And yeah. and because people get these powers in this position because of their talent. Yeah. But Celine Dion, I remember she had her baby, her first baby. And I remember she was interviewed, she goes, truth. And I'm like, babies don't know truth. But I mean, the world grasped a hold of her thought of that, you know, babies know the truth. And we start like having those ideas because somebody who's talented, and we have to just divide that out. We can't focus on these people and these power in this position, but to know the truth for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So. Who is she? Oh, she's a singer. Okay.
So now we realize that the fight, we're fighting against everything. We're fighting for our future. We're fighting for against every issue that comes our way, whether it be homosexuality, abortion, or even just everything, ideologies on economics even. And we have the truth. I mean, the last time I got to speak, we talked about the truth of the Bible, and that is the ultimate source.
Amen.
Of what we stand on. So there's the next thing we have to do is we have to be prepared. Because we can't fight the fight if we aren't prepared.
Yes.
And it means having the answers to all of those issues.
Yep.
It means reading and studying our word to the point that we can speak to economics, we can speak to the issues of life, we can speak to the issues that are coming our way, because if we don't have that in us already, and if we're not studying, we can't expect it to be brought out just miraculously if it came and we come under attack, because we will come under attack.
What good is it being willing to fight if you can't fight? Right?
So also being prepared does mean praying, Naisa. It means being prayed up, praying for those issues to be dealt with. The upper room in prayer. So, it just in a wrapping up of conclusions, I wanted to hit three short points. First is truth does exist, and there is a right and wrong.
Amen.
We're in a world where they don't want to believe that real truth, objective truth, God's truth does exist, and that's a fact.
Yeah.
Same fact that if that hell is there and it is real,
and
it is a place that people can go. We need to understand that truth is there. And we need to make sure that we teach people that. And second is we're called to bring the truth to the world. We're called to be that light. We've been chosen for a reason and to do this, not to just sit idle. There's a lot of us that drive to fight may not be there right now, and you pray for that. And last one is we're fighting for the future just as those who fought before us. Just like when Christ established that truth, just like Athanasius fought to maintain that truth, and maybe Luther later, we're the next step in that process to maintain, so that my kids, my grandkids can maintain that truth, so that it's not lost, so that's not hidden from us, so it's no longer executed in the streets. So that's all I got.
So what you're saying is your word there is wrong. This isn't the conclusion. This is the beginning of our fight, right?
This is the beginning of the fight, not conclusion. Anything about the teaching.
Any questions? We got a couple minutes. Any questions? Comments? Oh, Kenny, I'm sorry.
You don't have to give him the mic.
Yeah, I knew he's bigger than me.
I was looking for the fight between Shane and Pastor Don on the comments that were made about Santa Claus and his study. And see if the two of them can get together and bring some clarity on
it. As long as they don't say Santa Claus ain't real, I'm cool. Anyone else? Comment? Question? You all questioned out now? Donna. Always Donna. Never without question. Good woman. Dr. Daphne, yes.
I was thinking about my granddaughter who plays soccer. And in her soccer game, nobody's allowed to lose because they don't want them to be disappointed. And it's a falsehood because we do win or lose. And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah. And you just always lift them up.
Yeah.
But they're not teaching them that there's disappointments in life. And there is a winner, and there is a loser. We are on the winning side.
Yes.
There is a losing side.
Yes.
And it's like they're making them to where there's not a choice in life.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. There's I've seen on the news, I couldn't believe this one, Pennsylvania, three or four counties have banned snowball fights. Does anybody else see that? Snowball fights are illegal because they're dangerous. Okay. Yes, drugs and cigarettes, alcohol is dangerous, but we let that go. But we get money off of that. Okay.
Yeah, just one last thing. Just remember this. Truth exists, but it's whose truth is going to win the day. You know, as Brian said, the Muslims believe in truth. They have their law. They have their idea of way things should be run. The atheists have their truth. Okay, there is no God. There's a certain way things should be done. So everybody's pushing to win the pulpit. You know, who's going to influence society? And as we said, it's not just some, you know, academic exercise, but it plays out in the real world, and it plays out, unfortunately, as we look around the world today. Look at the nations where certain truths are taught, communism, secularism, Islam, whatever. And you see the fruit. Jesus said, you know, you'll know the tree by the fruit that it produces. And we've seen what Christianity, the truth of Christianity, and what it's done over the years. You know, the advancement of mankind, the advancement of science, the advancement of education.
Yeah.
But we'll lose those things
if
we don't fight for them. You know, if we stand on, you know, the side there and just kind of let somebody else win the day in. And I'm going to tell you what, they're fighting for their truth.
That's right.
You know? And they're not going to be tolerant as much as they're going to scream. You need to be tolerant and understand diverse ideas, and you'll find out that the ones that are most intolerant are usually those ones. So there is somebody's truth that will win the day.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of which truth is truly true.
Yeah. And unless we fight, we've already lost. All right. Give Shane a hand again. Thank you very much, Shane.